Everybody, welcome to Thursday Sports Line Bulldog Hour. Got Maury alongside. Take you to 3 o'clock. Ended up with our good friend Phil Benatti. 2 hours today at Faction Furniture. Stop on by and see him. El Paso, across from River Park. A great conversation at Phil's show. The best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. Some good eats as well. And you can also give him a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. We've got basketball on both stations. Local basketball on 790 at 5 o'clock. Concordia is in to play Fresno Pacific on 1430. The Lakers up at 7:15 tonight against Charlotte. I'll tell you all about the schedule, not only for today, but for the weekend, which includes a ton of very important football. I mean, to be specific, 5 games, 4 in the NFL, 2 Saturday, 2 Sunday, of course, in the divisional round, and then for us, the national championship with Miami and Indiana on Monday. So I'll get to all of that courtesy of Ed Dunkel in his fine business. Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information for Ed and his business, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. I'll tell you about the great fundraising Ed does for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus when we go over the schedule for both stations. Matt Norville with me today. We'll talk men's basketball, women's basketball, and touch upon softball if we have time. Matt with us now every Thursday throughout the academic year, and really pleased about that once again. But before we get there, our other lead dog, and that would be our friends at KFC, want to spend a few minutes with you before we get to the weather from the aforementioned folks at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Right now, at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, the new Zinger sandwich is on board. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet. It's seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving. Sounds great, doesn't it? It really does sound great. It's bold, it's spicy, and it's finger-looking good, as always, at KFC. So whether you crave the spice or just the great taste, the Zinger delivers that delicious KFC crunch you love. So don't delay. Head on by one of the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up the Zinger Chicken Sandwich today and tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout the valley. Also, keep in mind the Tuesday deal, the $10 8-piece bucket or 8 tenders deal, still in place. Also, good deals throughout the week that they have at KFC, including the chicken or the country fried steak and the pot pies. So terrific food at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kermit. But right now, the focus on that Zinger chicken sandwich. So make sure you pick it up if you can. All right, the other reminder mentioned comes from our longtime sponsors and friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been in the Central Valley since 1981. Been with us for a long time as well. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. Anything you need, give them a call, 825-533-7825, Lee's, or leesair.com on the web. And as I mentioned, you also have the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring up guests like Matt Norville and how Phil can bring up not only guests for his show, but also callers. Mark that one down, 559-320-1430. As far as the weather goes, same old, though. As we mentioned yesterday, once again, we're a little bit warmer than normal, and this has become a trend. Like I said, that winter keeps leaving us earlier and earlier. Right now, I know it's cold in the morning with the lows in the low to mid-40s, at least cold by our standards, not by the rest of the country, believe me. And then the highs, as long as the sun breaks through, as it did again today, going to be in the 60s, 62 today, then a 60 on Friday, 62 Saturday, 61 Sunday, and then we go 63, 64, 63 next week. No rain in the forecast through Wednesday. We'll see what happens beyond that. But as always, the fog is ever present, and most days now you're going to see a fog advisory till about 11 o'clock in the morning. And be very careful, particularly in the outlying areas. And, of course, we mentioned about the terrible accident over the weekend on 99 involving 17 cars. So, you know, once again, be aware of your surroundings, and hopefully everybody else is doing the same out there. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, 825-5337-825-Lee's, leesair.com, anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing. And then, as we have talked before, when we go over the schedules a little bit later on, I'll specify for you the networks that the games in regard to television will be on, because each of the four NFL games on a different network, but radio-wise, we have all four of them from Westwood One to make it easy for you. And I'll go over that schedule when we hit everything, courtesy of Ed and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, a little bit later on. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Thanks to the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. All that having been said, let's turn to our longtime friend and outstanding voice of your women's programs and also the men's programs from time to time and always on television in addition to radio. It is Matt Norville. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Matt. I just wrapped up a game. Matter of fact, Gino, if you're listening in Visalia, don't tell anybody that I'm swapping emails with you because, first of all, I'm not supposed to be doing that, period, but also not in the middle of a game. I was just telling Jorge they had the Magic and the Grizzlies in Berlin today. They're making a sweep through Europe. And, Matt, you couldn't – if you talk about a marketing bonanza, you couldn't have written it up any better. You have the hometown boys, the Wagner boys, coming back to Germany. They get down 20, Matty, and they come back and win. Just what the doctor ordered. I'm sure the NBA hierarchy smiling ear to ear about that. And, boy, that crowd was absolutely crazy there. I mean, you know, looking from afar, of course. So, they, you know this, the NBA knows how to market, do they not?
They are the best league, I think, maybe not in the world, but they're the best American league worldwide in terms of marketing. They're unbelievable at it. And basketball is now the world's game, like it is with soccer or football, as they say it outside of America. It's the world's game, man, and those are the two sports that are the biggest in the world, no doubt about it.
Well, again, it was on Prime Video, and I had to laugh because their announcers, of course, were not there. The sideline reporter was there, and people will find out because I think one of the announcers will actually be doing a game tonight stateside. So unless he had the fastest jet way beyond the old Concorde that anybody's ever seen, there's no way in the world he's getting back home in time. That is that little secret we've talked about, Matt. So many games now, your announcers are not on site anymore. That is something that happened because of COVID. And a lot of the networks have figured out that it's a lot cheaper to just use a natural sound circuit, particularly with all the five op networks now. Keep your announcers at home. Fox does this all the time. We talked about it on Saturdays during the football season. You'll see Petros Papadakis doing a 12:30 afternoon game, and magically, a game that's all the way across the country, he's doing that one at 7 o'clock at night. That's because he's never leaving the studio in L.A., Matt. That's how it works, so.
Tony, I know. It's one of those things. I don't know if the average listener realizes just how many announcers are really not at the games. If COVID happened and it changed everything, they're doing it to save costs. The TV networks are spending all this money for sports, and then they're saying, hey, we're not going to travel a broadcaster. It saves hotels. It saves flights. A lot of the broadcasters actually like it, except for the big games, because now, you know, you can kind of stay home and still see your family. You don't have to travel. And so it's kind of a win-win for everybody. And most of them, we can tell, you and I can turn on a broadcast and tell in a second that the broadcaster's not there. The average listener has no clue that a lot of the games they watch, the broadcasters aren't there.
You're right. And I've mentioned to people that watch very closely when you see the stand-up that if the guys look like they're a little larger than the backdrop, it's because they superimpose them on the backdrop of the broadcast itself. But, hey, look. Whatever brings the games, you deal with it as an announcer. For me right now, obviously, without it, I couldn't be doing games because of the orthopedic issues. But beyond that, Matt, the only drawback is, first of all, if you have a technical problem, you suddenly don't have your sound circuit, you got a problem. But you can't see the periphery, even if you have a multiplicity of cameras, and it depends upon what the setup is. But the biggest problem is, and you know this from doing games, so much of what you learn shooting the bull before the game with, you know, players, with coaches, with the management, those people. That's the thing you miss the most, and, you know, those are the things you carry with you throughout the year. And when you're not seeing or talking to those people because you're not there in the press room or you're not there 2 hours or 3 hours before the game, you know, that's the price of doing business, I guess. But anyway,
100% agree with you on that, Tony. And the other thing is you miss the atmosphere. It's always like you want to be involved. You want to hear the fans, see the fans. You don't get to hear what the coaches are saying. You don't get the interaction with the officials. There's a lot you do miss as a broadcaster. that people don't realize that you're not really always just watching the play. You're seeing everything else too, and you don't get that when you do it from a studio or from your house. But it does save the companies a lot of money, and it's not going to change. If anything, you want to keep AI out of broadcasting because AI has already entered broadcasting, and that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, no doubt. Also, I will, as a way to wrap this up, mention what I mentioned before. Fresno happens to be one of the prime locations because of, at times, the difficulty of getting in and out, whether it's the weather because of the fog or just the logistics of getting in from certain places, that a lot of the announcers are not here. And so you adjust to it and you accept it. And like I said, as long as the game is on national TV, it's good enough. And of course, we talked about this basketball wise, this is segue in. It's one of those years, not a lot of national telecasts for Fresno State. They had one Saturday night, of course, on CBS Sports Network. The rest of them have been locally produced. And hopefully, Matt, as we talk about the game itself, and we'll talk about last night as well, hopefully both the men's and women's teams have now turned the corner because they both played, in my opinion, their best games of the year now back to back on the last couple of nights at home. So let's start with the men. Are you of that mindset that they are getting somewhere right now, or do you take that stance that, hey, okay, they beat up San Jose State team that hasn't been playing well anyway, and then they used home court against Colorado State, so you're not going to get over your skis, or are you saying, you know what, you think they're on to something here?
I think personally, Tony, obviously you always take wins and you always build confidence on that. But if you're looking at it from a fan's aspect, what you're looking for is you're saying, hey, we need to beat someone that we're not supposed to beat in a location we probably aren't supposed to win at. So either you beat an upper echelon team at the Save Mart Center or you beat a team on the road that you don't always win there. That's what you need. You need kind of what I would say for Coach Wahlberg's era, you need a signature win. If I was to say to you right now, what's his signature win? That's tough. You probably would say Colorado State at the Save Mart Center, but they're under a first-year head coach. They're the coach they had last year where they had a lot of success is now the University of Minnesota coach. So Colorado State's 2-4. It's a great win. It's a good win. You take that as a win. But is that a signature win? And you're looking for a signature win to really turn the tides, which is what you're talking about. Every win is positive. Every win is a build. So you beat San Jose State, you beat Colorado State. Let's be honest. A year ago, they were struggling in conference. They had just one win. So you've got two, or they, excuse me, they had two wins. You have two wins right now, which matches your wins in conference. But you want that win. You want to knock off a UNLV, a GCU, a San Diego State, a Utah. You want something like that. A Nevada, something in that realm where you can say that's the signature win, and you can just continue to build belief. I think you've got to win over against Wyoming this Saturday. If you win against Wyoming, now there's two in a row, and then the Pit would be a nice place to pick up another win. You travel to the Pit on New Mexico next week. I believe they go to the Pit next week, and that would be the game where you say, hey, if we can get that one, now we're clicking, now we're doing things, now. I think that's what you look for because I know, Tony, we talked about this last week, and I said I would be disappointed if they had a blowout loss to San Diego State. I know Zion didn't play, but that game was over early. And so, like, that was one of those where you're just looking for that moment. I think you build on what you did with Colorado State. You were in kind of control. You had a good first half. They came back and tied it in the second half, but then you finished strong. And I think that's what you use as a positive. But from a fan aspect, I mean, you're looking for that signature win.
Yeah, you're right. And as I was talking with Ferdy yesterday, it is an opportunity now to sweep a homestand, something they have not done thus far. And even though Wyoming is more than capable of winning here, anybody is capable of winning here. The Bulldogs are not good enough to just roll the basketball out and win, no matter where they're playing. But this is an opportunity. And by the way, I do want to mention that the 4 o'clock start on Saturday, it is buy one, get one free. So a chance basically to get two tickets for the price of one. So I hope people come out for the game. It is on the Mountain West Network. Again, there's no national telecast. Also, I do want to remind everybody that Polo Palooza starts, Natalie Benson's crew, seven in the country and a great, great water polo team. They start those festivities on Friday, and it goes all the way through the weekend. If you want that schedule, go to GoBulldogs.com, and you can check that out. But, Matt, on the court itself, or the men's basketball team, Gorey has been impressive. We've seen Stickman, who didn't have a lot of minutes the other day, be impressive. Is this team right now better than you thought it would be because some guys that you didn't expect have stepped up? Or is this what you did expect to see from this team with a little bit more of the savvy guys coming from overseas to build maybe a more stable core?
This is kind of what I expected to see, Tony. I thought they were a better shooting team. I thought they were a better team than they were a season ago. You're kind of right where I thought they would be. I think what impressed me against the Colorado State game was how many times they got to the foul line. I mean, it took 24 free throws. They made 23 of them. Heidbreder didn't miss. I think he was 16 of 16 from the line, if I remember correctly. So I think that's impressed me. I think you have a go-to scorer in Heidbreder, which is kind of what I thought they would see. I think Zion's improvement from last season, he's such a better player this season than last year, in my opinion. I think he knows Coach Wahlberg better. He knows the system. And I think he's playing a very good point guard role for Fresno State. It doesn't always show up in the stats, but when you watch it, they're a different team when he's got the ball in his hands and when he misses a game or if he's on the bench. And then I've been impressed with the freshman in Gorey getting better. He's got that length, looks a lot like a Kevin Durant kind of thing with that slim build, not as tall, but he's a very good player. So I think they're kind of where I thought they would be. I'm just looking for, I just want them to get a game where maybe people don't feel like they should win. And that's what I'm looking for. And I think they can. I just hope that they stay. You've got to keep the confidence. The key is you've got to keep confidence because everybody's in everybody's ear, whether it's the media talking to them, I'm involved in that, obviously, or whether it's the coaches, the friends, the family. Everyone's in the kid's ear. They just got to stay confident and trust in what how they play and what they believe in. But, yeah, they're kind of right where I thought they'd be. It'll be interesting to see if you can, we're in January now, if you can continue to improve going into March and just be a tough out in that conference tournament. It's all about improvement, you know. I know fans look at a coach and they'll say, hey, you know, Coach Wahlberg in his first year, they didn't have a great record. And then if this year ends and they don't have as good of a record. But if they're improving and you continue to get better, that's always, I feel like, is a key. And I think Fresno State is, to answer your question, right where I thought they would be. I think they're a little better in areas than I thought they would be, and I thought they'd be a little bit stronger in areas that they're not quite, but overall, they're right where I see them.
Well, the final point, we'll move toward the women's game last night. As we were talking yesterday, if the team is going to be 96.5% from the free throw line and you're going to be shooting in the mid-20s as far as numbers, you're going to win a lot of games. Now, I don't know that they're going to shoot that well again, but for that makes the coach very happy when his team shoots the freebies like that. And they, as I mentioned yesterday, they were a net plus 14 at the line vis-a-vis what was going on with Colorado State. And I'll tell you what, we talk about the three-point line and the advantage you might get, but if you're a plus 14 from the free throw line, Matt, you're doing something right.
100%. That's what I was really impressed with against Colorado State. They got to the line, and then to go to your three-point stat, they made 8 threes, so did Colorado State, so that's a wash. I thought it was a well-played game for Fresno State. Every basketball team's going to make a run, so them losing that double-digit lead and then suddenly it's a tie game in the second half, that didn't really bother me. It's hard for 20 minutes to keep a team at bay. They're going to make a run. It's how they responded after Colorado State made that run and tied it up. I think it was at 41 apiece. They tied it up, and then Fresno State's able to close it out. That's what impressed me, and that's a good win. First time they've beaten Colorado State in a while. So anytime you can knock off Colorado State, that is good. You follow it up with Wyoming, you've got some momentum, and then you look at New Mexico on the road, and that's a game that I think if you can beat Wyoming Saturday and then go into the Pit and steal it at the Pit, now you got something. Even if you don't steal at the Pit, but it's a close loss at the Pit and it's one of those tight games, I still think you can still have a lot of positivity going in. You know me, everyone knows I'm a very positive person anyway. But I think you got to win on Saturday to keep that positive momentum. And then you head to the Pit on next week. And then if you can knock that off, there's your signature win for Coach Wahlberg. And now you're sitting here saying, okay, how high can we finish in the conference?
You're right about that. And again, 4 o'clock Saturday, buy one, get one free. Wyoming is in at that time. Incidentally, one in the sidebar from yesterday, we were talking, and Ferdig and I were about the preponderance of 3-point shooting. You and I have certainly had this discussion over and over again. But that Warrior-Portland game last night set an NBA record, an unusual one. 21 players hit threes in the game. 10 Warriors and 11 Blazers. That has never happened before. Matt, either you've had one of the great shooting nights of all time, which was really not the case, or you have guys chucking it up every time they touch it from three, right?
Ding, ding, ding. Exactly. You got guys just throwing it up. It's funny. I used to have a coach all the time that says, hey, we've got people that can shoot, and we've got people that don't shoot. I don't want people that don't shoot taking shots. And it's funny, though, yeah. The three-point line, it changed so much. Everyone thinks they're a three-point shooter, and everyone's not a three-point shooter, just like everyone's not a back-to-the-basket kind of post player. But it is funny how the basketball game has changed a lot, especially in the NBA level. I mean, everyone shoots the three. It is, you can come into the league and you're not a three-point shooter, and then all of a sudden you're taking threes. I think, I don't know, Zach Edey's numbers from Memphis, but I think he's taken a couple of threes this year, and I don't know if he took one in college. So that's one of those, it's just, that's the NBA game now, and it kind of makes me laugh.
You know, one thing, we used to play pickup games all summer long outdoors, particularly at Clovis West and other places. There was a time before the three-point line was in vogue. I mean, it had been in the NBA back in the 50s, and I mentioned this, at 25 feet, which they should go back to, by the way. And that was eviscerated, and the ABA had it. And because the ABA had it, the NBA wasn't going to have it. And then when they merged, they finally decided to put the three-point line in. But, you know, pickup games are usually played, as you know, Matt, by ones, right, all the time. And this I don't understand people in pickup games who decide to count a three as two. That makes it a four-point shot. That doesn't make any sense.
100%.
But what I decided I was going to do is, on the courts, I said, okay, we're going to just go ahead and put the three-point shot in, and it's going to be three, and the other bucket's going to be two, just like a regular game would be. And I painted the three-point line out there, and I put it where I wanted it, which was not 19-9, trust me, the high school line. It was way, and one of the guys I played with said, just like what you used to go, congratulations, Tone, you just made the incredibly bad shooters, and he used a much more colorful description, even worse. So congratulations, that you've encouraged the guys who can't throw a brick in a bathtub from 5 feet to now chuck it up from 25. Way to go. So evidently they didn't like that idea. You know, I liked it, but nobody else did. I was once again, Matt, a man way before my time, which still hasn't happened yet for me at 2026. So I'm waiting for my time. It hasn't arrived yet. All right. That having been said, I hope people go out to watch the men on Saturday, same day, Saturday, 3 hours earlier. The women will be in Reno to play Nevada. Again, that one's on the Mountain West Network. You and I talked the other day about McCarthy saying basically, you know what, we've got some stuff to clean up, but if we clean it up, we're going to be okay. The men were really impressive on Tuesday. The women were equally impressive in blowing Utah State out on Wednesday. What did you see, Matt? Because, of course, you called that game on Wednesday.
Yeah, I agree with your opening statement when you said you thought that was as good as the men have played this year and the women as well. I agree with you. I think both of them played fantastic. Yesterday, the women, the word I would use is focus. That was the word that Coach Brian McCarthy told me post-game when we were in Phoenix on Saturday. He said it was the most disappointing loss he's ever had in the history of coaching. And then he said he thought that they just didn't have focus. He thought that was the game they should have won. They were up two going into the fourth, and they lost that game on the road. It would have been a good win. And so they came out ready to go yesterday, and they dominated the game. It is plain and simple. They dominated. They trailed 5-3. That was the only time they trailed, and they led by as many as 30, and they won by 30. It was just one of those games. They put up 24 points in the first quarter. They had five players in double figures. I mean, it was good to see Millie Long get her 1,000th point. She had a 21-point performance. It's now the fifth game this season she's had at least 20 points or more. Denise Powell continues to be on a tear in her sophomore campaign. I mean, she's been special for Fresno State. She's really taken that leap from her freshman year to her sophomore year. She was second in scoring in the Mountain West Conference through six conference games going into yesterday, averaging like 16 a game, I think. And she's just been so smooth because she can score at all three levels. She can knock down the three, take the ball to the basket, and she shoots 89% from the foul line. So she's really worked on her shot. You know her as a slasher, getting the ball to the rim, and she's so good. But I thought, besides all of that, I thought their pace, Tony, we talked about it last week. I thought their pace was fantastic. They played fast. That's what Coach Ryan McCarthy wanted to do, and he mentioned it post-game. He said, this is kind of what we wanted to do, is have this kind of style. He said Mo Chavez and AO helped a lot because they're usually the ninth and tenth off the bench. Because he feels like they've gotten them better and they've been improving in practice, he's able to play faster because now you have that depth he wants to use, which means he can spell a Dene Powell, a Millie Long, a Jason Gamble here and there and give them some minutes, and so that then they can have that so they can continue to push the pace. And because of that, they had 23 fast break points last night, Tony. They outscored Utah State 23-4, and I think that was what I saw more than anything. Was the pace. The pace was what he wanted. They took three-point shots, which we talked about during the Bulldogs basketball hour, and Coach McCarthy said, hey, it was not by design. We weren't shooting threes early. It was the girls didn't have confidence, but now they've got confidence, and so now we're taking it. Because if you push that pace the way they are, the way they can score the ball going to the basket, scouting report's going to mean, hey, we're going to give up some open threes. They made 9 threes last night. Now you're dangerous, because now you can shoot the three. You play at that speed, you can get the ball to the basket, and they're the number one rebounding team in the conference. They're out-rebounding their opponents by over 6 rebounds a game. They're dominating the glass against everyone. They had 47 rebounds yesterday compared to 29 for Utah State. I mean, I was trying to think. I'd have to ask Marielle, the SID, when the last time Fresno State was number one in rebounding in the conference, and it's been a while. But they are so good on the glass, which means they get more second-chance opportunities. Yesterday, they had 16 offensive rebounds. They had 19 against GCU. They had 20 against San Jose State. And they're going to be tough, Tony, as this year moves on. And I do think they're starting to figure it out. The key they've got to do, and Coach McCarthy talked about this after the game, is they've got to win a conference game on the road. And they just haven't done that yet. They've got Nevada this week and in Boise next week. And so we'll see what happens. But at home, they've been very good. Their lone loss in conference was in San Diego State.
You and I were talking a while back about the monolithic teams we have seen over the years in conference for the women. Louisiana Tech, a case in point during WAC days, where that was coming off of Louisiana Tech being one of the great teams in the country early on in women's basketball. And it was just, who's playing the old Larry Bird line, right, with the three-point shooting contest, who's playing for second place, right, when he walked in the door. And you knew you weren't going to beat the Lady Texters at that point. Then the Bulldogs had that stretch of time where, you know, they were competitive every year, relatively lately, and they ended up winning some titles. Then UNLV shows up and became not the monolithic presence that La Tech was, but certainly dominant. You and I have talked that starting next year, the women really have the challenge upped greatly because the conference is going to be much stronger. As this year unfolds and we finish up in the Mountain West, is there a chance this team could go to Vegas and win the tournament? Is it that open in your opinion?
I think the conference is going to be pretty open. I think UNLV and San Diego State have separated themselves as the two best teams in the conference. I think they've separated themselves a little bit, but they are beatable. San Diego State beat Utah State by one. Utah State was up by 11 on them in the fourth. It took a jumper from Panjin Ebon, who might be the player of the year in the conference for San Diego State, who knocked down the jumper. And then they missed the layup at the buzzer for San Diego State to remain unbeaten. And then the Dogs just beat Utah State by 30. So I think it is open. UNLV is very strong. Fresno State lost to UNLV in their first conference road opener. But we'll see what happens when they come back to town. Because Coach McCarthy, there's one thing we've noticed with Coach McCarthy early. And you know me, I always say I don't put a lot of stock in the first year. I just look on development and what they do in terms of game adjustments. He's a very good in-game coach, and he's very good at adjusting his style. I know I've mentioned this a couple of times, but I am a firm believer of this. What separates a good coach from just an okay coach is the okay coach will say, I have this style, and I don't care what's going on, we're playing that style. A good coach will adjust and say, hey, I want to play this, but we just don't have the personnel for it. And he's adjusted. He changed his whole offense after Ashlyn Rhean, their best player, went down, and his team's playing well. They're getting better. They're improving. He coaches them hard. They're in shape. I think that they will be a tough out. And you know this, Tony, having called it, you play game after game, back-to-back days. do you want to see a team that's all about running on the second day or the third day of a conference tournament? So Fresno State would be easier to play if you're trying to play against them the first day. As the tournament goes on, they'd be tougher to play because of their pace.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hope people who haven't gone out to SMC for both the men's and women's give it a shot. I know that it's a big, big arena, and at times it can look like you have a crowd that maybe isn't as interested as you would hope. They make a lot of noise out there. I'll give them that, and I hope we see more of it, Matt. And I guess that's all you can ask people to do with both teams is sample the product, right?
I agree completely. Obviously, I love basketball, so you even if I wasn't broadcasting, you telling me, hey, did I watch the women's or men's game, I'm going to still watch them. But I think, yeah, going out, it's entertaining basketball. If you just want to watch the local college play, which Fresno State is, you're going to be impressed. The coaches, both of them, Wahlberg and McCarthy, they coach their team hard. They get everything they can get out of them. Both teams play hard. Both teams have scores. I think they both play a fun style. I would recommend going out to the game and watching them play. And I think you'll be impressed. You'll leave more impressed than just looking at a box score, I'll tell you that. No doubt about it. I think sometimes fans will look at a box score and be like, oh, but that doesn't always tell the story. You go out and watch, and then you'll see that, okay, it was a dominating win, even though it might only say they win by 11 or they win by 10. They were dominant. It's, yeah, going out, check them out, watch them play, and then after the game, if you can, you know, just go up and try to talk to one of the coaches. They're very personable people.
Yeah, it is very much an accessible situation. And again, if you're never sure, and I mentioned this the other day, I had people that just simply are not aware the games are being played, which is extraordinary because you have the internet and things where you should be able to check. But I will remind people one more time, if you're not sure, go to GoBulldogs.com, and not only do you have the schedules there for everything, but also the deals like the buy one, get one free for Saturday for the men, that kind of thing. So try to make a habit out of stopping by GoBulldogs.com, and you'll be able to keep up a little bit more. And that leads to the final point today, and that is we're only 3 weeks away from softball getting started. I know there's a nice piece at GoBulldogs.com about three freshmen coming in. Matt, year after year, this softball team brings itself either to the postseason or close to it. Been disappointing in the conference championship rounds the last couple of years. What is your thumbnail about the team you're going to see in just a few weeks here?
I think Fresno State's going to be competitive, no doubt about it. I mean, head coach Charlotte Morgan, she comes with that kind of pedigree. She was obviously player of the year in the SEC, if people didn't know that. She's really the first big California recruit that went to Alabama, and now Alabama right. Softball's so good, and the SEC softball's so good. She's an outstanding pitcher. She could hit as well. And she kind of fits the theme of a Coach Rosen, a Coach McCarthy. She's a fireball, and she's going to get a lot out of her team, but she can coach. So, like I told you before, we'll see what happens with the first year. I'm more concerned probably with the second year, but Fresno State softball is always right there. They did lose quite a few good players from last year's team that was in the championship game and was one game away from going to the NCAA tournament. But that being said, it's Fresno State softball, and they get players that come in that can play. She's got a really good staff. I'm actually emceeing their meet and greet, like for women's basketball that I did in the fall. It's next Sunday. So it's a week from Sunday. I'll be emceeing that and get a chance to introduce the softball players to the fans and obviously Coach Morgan as well. I'm excited for the season. You really don't know what they've got probably until mid-March, maybe going into that first week of conference, because you're trying to fill out the pitching staff. You're trying to see what your batting order is. But I think Fresno State will be definitely competitive, no doubt about it. Keep in mind, the transfer portal hurt Fresno State. It also hurt San Diego State, too. They lost their best pitcher. She's now pitching in the SEC. Boise State, their two best players also hit the portal. They're in the SEC. So, I mean, like, it's one of those things, Tony, we talk about it. I mean, the portal, it takes away. I mean, it'll give you some, and it'll take away, and everyone's going through it. So I think Fresno State will still be, obviously, in that top four. Nevada was very good last year, but they were kind of a senior-dominated team, and they lost Aaliyah Jenkins, who was special. She graduated. So I think Fresno State will be in that top four, and then it'll come down to what they can do in that conference tournament to try to get into the NCAA tournament.
Well, they will get started on February 6th, so we're only about 3 weeks away. So people check that out as well at the website. Matt, before I let you go, I do want to ask you about the unfortunate headlines about the point-shaving scandals. You have now this entire mess of gambling and how it's been interwoven into the things that are patently illegal the entire time. And I don't know if it's possible to draw a correlation between point shaving, which has been around forever, and the preponderance of it right now in this gambling era, whether it has enabled some individuals to justify it or condone it or whatever. I guess that's up to each individual to decide that. It should be a separate issue, but it certainly plays out sidebar with the legalized gambling. But the fact that you're looking at 39 players or more than 39 players on 17 NCAA Division I teams, and you've got 20 of the 26 defendants who played during the last couple of seasons. There are four that are actually playing or have been playing right now. Matt, what do you make of this? Is this an offshoot of legalized gambling, or is this just something that's been going on the entire time and we pay more attention now because it's in our face every day?
Well, yes, it has been going on a little bit. I think it's more so now for two reasons, NIL and legalized gambling. Legalized gambling now, you've got, if you talk to a kid between 18 and 24, not an athlete, just a typical male 18 to 24 that likes sports, more than likely they're placing bets on sports. They just are. They're on their phone. I see a bunch of 18 to 24-year-olds all the time, and they're betting all the time. I'm talking like every day. We're basketball, football, baseball. So that's made it a lot easier. It's on your phone. The reason I also say NIL is, Tony, if you and I are friends and you're on the team and you're making 100K and I'm on the team and I'm making 20, I'm not making what you're making. I might think, we're friends. Right. I might think I should at least be near Tony. I should be at least having a little bit of money. And so now you're looking to have some more money. Where am I going to get more money? Well, what if I just do this? What if I just bet on my team to win? That's nothing wrong. I want them to win. What if I'm just betting on myself by saying, hey, I'll do a prop bet. They're saying I'm only going to score 6 points in the first half. I'm telling you, I'm going to score over six in this first half. And that's how it starts. And then it's just a snowball effect. And I think those two issues are the reason we have it today. And I actually think the only way, it'll never happen, to get rid of it is you've got to take gambling out of college sports completely. Completely. Yep. But they won't. You're making too much money, they won't. That's why I always say all the time, you're not really trying to solve the problem. Because if you want to solve the problem, you take it out. Now, can you point shave? Yeah, but now you're going to have to do it another way. You're going to have illegal people betting on the side and all that. Now it's not going to be on a kid's phone because now it's illegal. So you take it out of college athletics and just leave it on pros. I think college kids are way more vulnerable than pro athletes because pro athletes, I always say, hey, if you want to throw away your career, you want to throw away a shot at the Hall of Fame, and you're making, on average, a couple of mil, 3 mil, 5 mil. What did Clase say for the Guardians? He's making $6.5 million. He's one of the best closers in baseball, and he's done. I mean, if you want to do that, you're a pro. Hey, go for it. College kids, I say they're pro athletes now, but people still say, hey, they're college kids. But they're not making that kind of money. Yeah, you might hear the headline of the Washington quarterback signed a $4.5 million deal. But every kid in college ain't making that. Most of the college kids are probably making anywhere from 50 to 100K. If they're a decent player, some of them are making less. They're a lot more vulnerable to getting, hey, what if you just do this and you get an extra, and then you do it a couple of times to get the money, you think no one's going to find out. You got to get out of it. You got to get rid of it. But I think really when you break it down, Tony, if you ask me, it's legalized gambling, especially in college sports, and then the NIL factor, because now you got kids. Everyone knows who's making what. And now you're looking at that gap. Me and you are friends, and you're making 80K more than me. And I'm sitting there saying, you shouldn't be making 80K more. I got to get money somehow because we want to go hang out. We want to go do this. And then you turn to that. And it's unfortunate. It's disappointing. I really don't know what the answer is. I know it's not limited to just schools. It's individuals. No college coach anywhere in America is telling their kids to do it. They're all telling them not to. It's an individual kid making a decision. And unfortunately, Tony, I know it sounds cynical. I think there's more than what they said today on ESPN. It's happening in a lot of places. Maybe not point shaving, but there's a lot of kids that are gambling on sports that are playing athletics in this country.
Well, I agree with you, and as we wrap it up, Matt, I'll tell you this. One, I'm in total agreement that we got to get rid of the prop bets, first of all, whether they're going to be able to eviscerate all of gambling. But the prop bets, the personal accomplishment bets, points, rebounds, individuals, that's got to go, because that's mm-hmm. where, and you bring up Class A or somebody, it's very easy to go to somebody and say, you know what, I'll tell you what, you're not going to hurt your team here if you go ahead and miss a free throw early on for me, because the prop says this, that, or whatever, or what we saw in Major League Baseball, just throw a ball to start the inning. It's not going to hurt anything. You're down 1-0 on the count, but we're going to cash in big. And when I bring this up, and this is what Pete Thamel had about this, and it's worth noting, it may be that the players are not making that much money from the gamblers who want them to fix the games, essentially. But as far as the handles, the betting total, approximately almost $500,000 on Towson to beat UNC A&T. Almost $430,000 for Kent State to cover the first half spread against Buffalo. $275,000 for South Alabama to cover the first half spread against Southern Miss. This is where you go to players to make sure they adjust a number for you. They may not cash in very big, but there are gamblers out there, Matt, who are, and those players are either unwitting or willing accomplices to this. And that's where the brain isn't fully formed until about 25 or 26. And you're probably best, let's just make it illegal. But you and I both know the race books want that handle, don't they?
They do. I'm in total agreement. I'd make that illegal. I don't like it. I think it just puts too much there. And like you said, they're really not making that much money. Classe threw a pitch and they said he was getting like a $20,000 kickback. $20,000, he's making $6.5 million. But that's not what they were making off of that. He was getting a $20,000 kickback, and that's the problem. It'll never go away because money rules all. We talk about it all the time, and gambling is just so prevalent. But the prop bets, they're killers. They're killers. And then on top of it, the other aspect you're not hearing about too, Tony, is how many of these kids get attacked on social media based on, oh, I lost this money because you didn't do da-da-da-da-da. I mean, if you just talk to some of the college athletes, which I do all the time, and you just see sometimes their social media, we're talking football and men's basketball, even women's basketball because it's gambled a lot. And you're just be like, you've got people texting, DMing, doing all this stuff because of them. Someone didn't score enough points. I mean, it's ridiculous. The whole thing really frustrates me. But like I said, it's not going to change, unfortunately, because there's just too much money involved. You just try to educate the student athletes and say, hey, it's not worth it no matter what it seems like. But I think you also, on the flip side, have to go at the people who are attacking these kids on social media, too, that are putting more pressure on them.
You are correct, sir, and I hope they can fix it. It's going to be a real uphill battle. Matt, always appreciate it. Listen, have a great week, and I'll certainly be in touch. Talk to you next Thursday. Take care.
Sounds good, Tony. Anytime.
All right, our great friend Matt Norville, take a break, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phillies at Fashion Furniture today. Basketball on both stations coming up. Tell you all about it after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:53, a few minutes ago on the show, hand it off to Phillies. Outstanding show behind the bench. 2 hours today from Fashion Furniture El Paso. Across from River Park, you can reach Phil on the Lease Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, or stop in person. Of course, great conversation of Phil's show, the best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California, some good eats as well. Again, Fashion Furniture today, 3 to 5 El Paso, across from River Park, 4 behind the bench. Now, as far as the upcoming schedule for both stations, it is brought to you courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape, Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500, precisioneng.net for more information. We commend Ed for everything he does fundraising-wise for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. A lot of those grads go right to work for Ed at his business. And the goal, as always, of the fundraising to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully throughout the many years. Now, as far as the schedule goes, mention Phil 3 to 5. He's normally 3 to 6 with behind the bench. Again, reach him on that Lee's Air hotline. or stop by and see him in person on Thursdays, as is the case today at Fashion Furniture. Also, you have Paul Metters with two fine shows, Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics on our sister station, the Deuce 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesdays. You also have his fine and long-running show on Saturday mornings from First Green Sports on 1430. That's Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. We are with you every day at 2 o'clock. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcast there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. As far as the specific lineup, today, 5 o'clock on 790, doubleheader Concordia in men's and women's basketball at the Event Center at Fresno Pacific. Stay tuned for that. Scott Bemis and company bring you that one. And the Lakers are on a little bit later on this station at 7:15 on 1430. The Hornets are in, and they will have a tip at around 7:30. Keep in mind for us over the weekend, enormously important, the NFL 4 and then the national championship on Monday. So what you have from Westwood One, you've got the Bills and the Broncos in the morning on Saturday, or actually in the early afternoon on Saturday, and that will be available on CBS. And then the 49ers follow against the Seahawks. That game is on Fox on Sunday. The early game belongs to ABC and ESPN. Texans at the Patriots, and then the Rams and the Bears get the late game on NBC. Again, we have all four of those games on radio for you from Westwood One. And they're saying now that temperatures in Chicago, 15 to 18 degrees when the game starts. Okay. And that game starts at what, 5:30 Chicago time, I believe. And then they say it's going to be a wind chill of 4 degrees with the wind gusts up to 35 miles an hour. So again, what does home field mean? It means a lot if you're a West Coast school, West Coast team in this case, because you want to avoid that weather. And I bumped into Terry Bradshaw. I'll talk about it next week. Bumped into him when I was working at Channel 24 back in the 80s, right after the Steelers had wrapped up their fourth Super Bowl. And I was talking about the games that they played the Raiders, because they played every year in the playoffs there for a while, that were in Oakland as opposed to Pittsburgh. And the Raiders hated going to Pittsburgh because it was so cold. And Terry Bradshaw said, you know what? We have what amounts to a home field disadvantage for the Raiders. We would rather play in Oakland as well because it's more comfortable. It's just that the Raiders underperform in Pittsburgh, but don't think we enjoy it either. It's just when you California guys get there, you usually freeze. So keep that in mind. The Bears may not love it either. They just know the Rams would much rather be in SoCal at 80 degrees or inside at SoFi or halfway inside. But that's what happened when the Rams lost the game that they lost a couple of weeks ago. That one in Carolina was just a killer to them, and they were very fortunate to get away with it in the playoffs. We'll see what happens, and of course we'll have all of that for you on our air, and then we'll wrap it up on Monday with the national championship game, a game that coincidentally is on the home field now, Miami, and they're going to need it. They and Indiana will play, and that'll be tremendous coverage from ESPN Radio and ESPN Television on Monday. All right, that's the lineup, and as we wrap it up, I want to remind you one last time about our friends at the local KFCs. The new Zinger sandwich available at the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving. It's bold, it's spicy, and it's finger-licking good, as always. So whether you crave the spice or just crave the great taste, the Zinger delivers that delicious KFC crunch you love. So what are you waiting for? Hop on in the car. Get there in the drive-thru or go in person, grab the new Zinger chicken sandwich today, and tell everybody at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, thanks for supporting athletics throughout the valley. So thanks to the local operators at KFC. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks go out to Jorge and, of course, to Matt Norville. Jackson with me tomorrow to talk transfer portal. Phil is coming up from Fashion Furniture and then basketball on both stations. See you tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.